What David describes here is his personal confession, and it's not curing a body or mind problem. Ultimately, it is a soul problem. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul." And think about the psalm in that light. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Can we ever say that when it comes to ordinary things of the body or mind? But Jesus, our good shepherd, tells us, if we are in him, as we read earlier in John 10, we will have life and have it abundantly. That abundant life is what David describes in Psalm 23. As he refreshes our body and soul, he pours out gifts for us that far exceed anything we could ever ask or imagine. I lack nothing.
This message is from Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Rock, solid hope, and rim country. April 26, 2026. Psalm 23.
Things are different in America, as you might see if you watch the commercials that so often come up. You'll be enjoying a nice backyard barbecue with nice green grass and neighbors, or maybe sitting on a park bench with a friend, and then it hits. The graphic comes on with an inflamed gut or an inflamed heart or an inflamed mind, and then the words start listing all the pains and the struggles that you have because of some sickness. But then the music changes. And the words come on, if you take Thrivia and Plazentia, then everything will be better. And then the people start dancing and their neighbors are back and the barbecue's back on and the grass is green and they're getting out the front door and everything is glowing and happy and the sun is shining. Isn't that how it works? Well, then, of course, we hear the litany of side effects. Those who have taken this drug may experience sudden cardiac arrest or death, or the side effects are so terrible that you just want to step back and wonder, why would I ever want that? Because they know, they have to cover their path, they have to cover their tracks. The grass might seem greener and they might portray it as such, but it's really not. And yes, don't get me wrong, I know that sometimes we need medication and it's a great blessing to use and to have, but people will often abuse these things. In fact, illicit drug use has gone up year by year to the point where now reportedly young people have about 1/4 of all young people have taken an illicit drug in the last year. And if you go and look at the last decade or the last generation, going back maybe 20, 25 years, over 1 million people have died from substance or drug overdose. They're not finding greener grass. The fact is we can't, because the problem we see is not merely a matter of the mind or the body. If we're looking for something greener, something greater, it needs to be found in something greater. That's what David points us to today, is he points to a very blissful picture, a true picture of joy and lasting happiness and green grass. Probably words that are familiar to many of us, Psalm 23. And as we look at these words today, we'll see how the Lord restores not just our body or our mind, but restores our soul. David is one who recognizes this confession of his as something that not everybody has. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He has something in his personal confession which stands out from many in this world. And he likes to list for us what that gives us. But don't misunderstand, David is not one who always enjoyed the things that are listed here. Sometimes his grass was not so green. Sometimes he faced the ache. And if you think that for David life was merely bliss, look at some of the other psalms. This same David who wrote about green pastures and his cup overflowing is the one who wrote in Psalm 6, saying, "Lord, I'm worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow." See, what happened in the very beginning of time also affected David. There they were, living in true pleasure in paradise with every tree for them for food, the greenest garden ever. But the first man and woman, they were told, if they take of that one fruit, the side effect was clear. You will die. and yet looking for something better, trying to attain more than what they already had from their shepherd, they broke his commands, and the side effect was real. And along came with it not only death, but everything you hear listed at the end of every drug commercial, every problem you've ever faced, the suffering that David speaks of here, and that affected David and affects us. And not only our body, but David lists in Psalm 13, as he says, his troubles are more than merely of the body. He says, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" The curse, the weight from our own guilt and from being in a sin-cursed world can't simply be overcome as we strive for greener pastures. Oh, but we've tried, right? The things that David lists in Psalm 23 are things that we all want. Quiet waters, a quiet mind and a place to rest, to have something greener that you can feed on, to know that you're secure and you're safe. But I submit to you, the things that David speaks of here go far beyond what we can attain simply by eating food or by building houses or protecting ourselves from evil. No, what David describes here is his personal confession, and it's not curing a body or mind problem. Ultimately, it is a soul problem. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul." And think about the psalm in that light. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Can we ever say that when it comes to ordinary things of the body or mind? But Jesus, our good shepherd, tells us, if we are in him, as we read earlier in John 10, we will have life and have it abundantly. That abundant life is what David describes in Psalm 23. As he refreshes our body and soul, he pours out gifts for us that far exceed anything we could ever ask or imagine. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord takes his sheep, like David, and like those who follow and listen to his voice, and he says, "Come here and find what is truly refreshing and feeds you and gives you life." You know, in our country, the problem with food isn't that we don't have enough. I think most of us recognize that. The problem isn't so much that there's not availability of food. The problem is the food that we often have is the kind that's addictive and unhealthy and filled with things that don't really build our bodies up. The cheapest, most readily available food is not so healthy. That is also true with the spiritual food that people turn to. The foods that they're addicted to and keep coming back to are often not this, the one that God calls green pastures. But here in his house, our shepherd gives us healthy food. As you open his word in your home and you see the word of your God, they are green pastures. It's going to build up your heart and your soul. As he tells you, you are at peace with God, you are forgiven. He says, he leads me beside quiet waters. The words here literally mean resting waters. Where else can we find real rest except in our God? And where else do you find a water greater that gives you far greater peace than what this really points us to, doesn't it? When God gave you the waters of baptism, he poured out on you a peace that this world cannot give. The waters of rest, as you know, you don't need to strive to make greener pastures when God has promised you an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You have rest as you know you are at peace with your God, and he loves you, and he's forgiven your sin. He refreshes my soul in the house of God and with the gospel. We find more than simply a recovery of the heart or mind. God tells our soul, our life, and gives us renewal, that we now have every good thing in him. But more than that, it says, he guides me along right paths for his name's sake. You know, David's confession is that God does this. He does this. He does this. God is the one guiding. He is the one leading. He's the one providing and feeding. That's what David means when he says, God is my shepherd. And the word here really says, God is the one who is shepherding me. He doesn't stop. He says, here are the green pastures today. Here are the green pastures today. And he keeps doing this for us. Sadly, the world would have us say greener pastures are found in many other places, and many, even Christians, can stumble into the trap of addiction and self-medication. And we see the statistics. But God invites us day after day to say, let me shepherd you to what is good. And in his word, we find what truly refreshes our soul. He not only gives us new life and forgiveness, but David says, he guides me in right paths. Really, it means righteous paths. To walk in the way which not only pleases God, but is good. Good for our soul and good for life. God says, this is a blessing to honor marriage. God says, this is a blessing to protect life. God says, this is right and good, and he says, walk in it. And when we do, it's because he guides us. And for his name's sake, he does this over and over, that we might in him find blessing. And then David talks about how life, even though there's God's guiding and provision and leading, still involves dangers. Remember when I read from Psalm 6 and 13 how he struggled in body and mind with tears and with fears. And yet he could say, even though I walk through the darkest valley, many of you are familiar with the expression, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God, yes, does still allow evil in this world. We still are under the curse ever since man and woman first fell into sin. But God is with us. You are with me. The middle of this psalm, a wonderful reminder that God remains shepherding with us, even when it seems dark, even when evil seems to surround us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If we were not on his side, we would be terrified at the wrath and might of God. But David says, my shepherd, he's stronger than the forces of evil. The same one who walked this earth and drove 2,000 demons out of a man is the one who still commands and has sway over the powers of evil. He is still the one who, with his rod and staff, like a shepherd, fends off the devil who, like a lion, looks to devour us. But God is greater, and he remains with his flock. And David describes the provision God gives. The same one who gave us the waters of resting peace is the same one who gives us food. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. David actually literally did this when he was being hunted by King Saul. He fled from Saul, and he needed food, and his men were hungry, and they came to the house of the Lord, and there he ate from the bread of the presence, which you're not allowed to do. But the high priest gave him that food. Well, David says, God gives me food, unexpected food, even as I'm being hunted by the enemy. When you step into this house, the bread of life is yours. And the one who says, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven, gives you that gospel food to strengthen you, even as you face temptation and struggles. And when you come to his table, you receive the new covenant, his body and blood, a table prepared for you, an invitation given of that new covenant. And he says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. This anointing is God choosing someone to serve him. God says to you, I choose you to be not only part of my flock, but to live in my kingdom and serve me. And as you do that, can you imagine the blessings overflowing, as John says, grace after grace we receive from Christ. These blessings are ours, because Jesus came to this world to provide all these things, to establish his new covenant of forgiveness. Our shepherd laid down his life and took it up again, redeeming us from our enemies, from our grave, and from condemnation. And because he lives, we can say, the living Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I'm going to lack. Now, can you imagine if this confession were tossed aside? David says, the Lord, he's my shepherd. Turn it around. What happens when you say, "The Lord is not my shepherd"? I'm always lacking something. I'm looking for something more, something greener. Even though he invites me to quiet waters, I'm not going to listen. Even though he gives me refreshing for my soul, I'm not going to pay attention. Even though he wants to guide me along righteous paths, for his name's sake, I go on my own path. Could you imagine, as you flip this around, "The Lord is not my shepherd, so even as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear evil, because God is not with me, and his rod and his staff, they terrify me." And to know that God does not prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, but I join the table of my enemies. And God has not chosen and anointed me, and my cup is emptied. What would happen? David made this his personal confession. And you are invited to make this your confession, to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And rather than not listening to his voice, to day by day say, "He provides, he protects." And when the troubles come, to not fear because of what he has done and who he is, our living Lord. So that you can, with the conclusion, join with David and say, "Surely goodness and love will pursue me all the days. His banner over us is love. Right now he protects and provides body and soul. But someday, this body which is subject to that curse, the known side effect of rebellion against God, death and condemnation, this body will be raised to life. And our living shepherd will take us, and that goodness and love will continue to follow us as we listen to our shepherd forever. And we can say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I will live, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His banner over us is love." Make this psalm your confession, so that you know you can say with David and all the saints that the Lord loves me, he is my shepherd, and he restores my soul. Amen. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood and made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever.